Well, we're on the edge of one of Chris's large fields here, and we've got the green shoots of recovery coming up through here, haven't we? What have you done with this field?
Matthew, this has just been reseeded about 2 weeks ago, over winter wild bird seed mix, and immediately afterwards there was some heavy rain, and so the ground was very, very soft. And in past podcasts, as we look round the farm, we bump into lots of deer species. On the way here, we've already bumped into a muntjac which scooched off through the hedge. We've seen roe deer, we've seen Chinese water deer. That's three species.
About 100 rabbits.
and lots of rabbits. And sometimes when you're out living in the countryside, you look for the signs, because some of the animals, things like badgers, are strictly nocturnal. You see their footprints. Hares and rabbits, particularly in snow or in mud, you see their footprints. So you know that they're there without necessarily seeing them. And there's one of the species of deer. In fact, it's the largest mammal in the UK. And they're here quite a lot now. They're red deer. And with the antlers, they're about as tall as you are, and really seriously large animals.
So these are a large species to be surviving and sort of living and coexisting with us in the countryside.
Yes, and that's the problem when they cross roads. There is a lot in Norfolk now. And when I say large, just look down here. These footprints.
This newly planted field with soft... Look. Oh, look, my goodness.
There's... the two cloven hooves, and there, and two, usually behind them, you'll get two little dew claw marks because the ground was so soft. Look at that, you can get your fist in that
that
one
is deep,
in there.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And so, there, the footprints of red deer compared to Rat, who's just arrived, my terrible terrier. he could get all 4 feet in one deer slot, we call them. So, there we are, that's just a sign. Another one, lovely one over there, where you can see the cloven hooves there, the sort of split between them. And I think there was five, and they're likely to have all been stags. And it's because at this time of the year, the does, hinds have given birth, and they're looking after their charges, and the boys are kind of redundant. So they all go off together, the boys. And, well, I did mention last week you've all heard of a stag party. Well, this time of the year, the mallard are all deserted by the females. It is that way round. And the same with the deer. Their job, their rut from last autumn is well over now, and they're living out in the countryside all by themselves. Anyway, Matthew, just want you to stand up, as we had a quick look at this, and we're now going to see something special, I did promise you.
Well, by the way, where do these deer go the rest of the time?
In this tall areas of woodland, there's 13 areas of woodland here at High Ash Farm, and that's why the habitat's right for them. And the wildflower fields, which we looked at earlier, have crops in which suit deer down to the ground. They have lots of legumes in, things like sainfoin, which is a tall legume, almost looks like a lupin. It's the same family, and it's really high in protein and starch and carbohydrate. It actually, sainfoin comes from the French. It literally means wholesome hay. And so they secrete themselves into woodland, and as long as they're not disturbed, otherwise they can run off out into the sort of open countryside. Generally they're okay, but they cause serious amount of damage if you happen to hit one in your car.
And they've been quite formative of the countryside in Britain, haven't they? Because, I mean, yes, many years ago, our lords and masters and royalty would set aside huge areas of land just to hunt deer.
Yes, oh, hunting was the privilege of the rich and wealthy. And still today, sometimes, you know, a lot of, particularly up in Scotland, where there are large numbers of red deer, it forms a really useful income for parts of the countryside where you'd be hard pushed to get a living these days.
But an area like Epping Forest or the New Forest,
yes,
somewhere like Sherwood Forest, they would just be like royal preserves.
Absolutely, and different species of deer would be hunted at different times of the year as well. Things like fallow deer as well, and there's several other native species. Well, there's not many native species, many of the others were introduced, but red deer and our roe deer, they're resident native species. So very interesting. Anyway, I promised you a treat. Because this last week behind us, a very special show happened. It's called Chelsea, the flower show.
Yes.
And
did you win any gold medals this year?
I know, I'm about to get a gold medal when I take you through a little bit further into the woodland here. Because I think nature can top trump man's best efforts. Just walk in here. The bluebells that were here a couple of weeks ago are flat on the ground.
They've had it for another year. They'll be back. But let's make our way through the trees and the undergrowth here. Aha. Oh, these are absolutely coming out into their best shape now, aren't they? You better tell us.
Yes, Matthew, they're foxgloves. Oh. Digitalis purpurea.
6 foot plus, some of
these. Oh, these will make 8, 9, and even 10 feet, 3 metres tall. And they've just started flowering. Each one in front of us has got, this particular one has got about, 50 little foxglove flowers on it, and still more to come, and it's still going, and that's now about getting on for 7 feet up, I suppose.
Lovely violet shade.
Lots and lots of different colours, although it's Digitalis purpurea. There in the background is salmon colour ones, pure white just over there, through there.
So are these different mutations then?
Yes, they crossbreed and all sorts of different colours. So you have pale pink. This one in front of us is absolutely purple. And when you look in the little foxgloves themselves, you can see the little honey guide in there, and the bees go in and come out. In fact, it's just a bit on the cool side. If the sun was here, this would be swarming with bumblebees. Even in these cooler temperatures, just needs the sun on it to get the pollen and nectar going. And it's just an amazing sight. So you actually look right through and they go off as far as the eye can see through the woodland. And I think that top trump really anything, the best work that you can do at Chelsea. And this has happened, this is nature's idea of how it should
yes,
be.
You haven't seeded these and planted them out and decided where they go.
No, and it's a shade loving plant. The bluebells are all done, flat on the ground, all the energy's now into the bulbs, and then the next layer of woodland flowers come into flower, and these are much more shade tolerant. They like this. You can actually feel, if you stand up and down on the ground, it's very spongy. Yeah. And that's acid peat that we're standing on, and on top of a hill.
I used to know someone who could have been called acid peat.
Oh, right. Yes, yeah, very good, very droll. Yes. And so they love this soil type, and there's a lot of history to it. Children used to pick the flowers, and you'd get up near the top because you have small fingers, and actually put your finger in the little bell shaped flowers, and when you detach them, they generally have a little hook on the end where they're still attached, and you could actually get 5 on one hand, and it makes it look so you've got claws. And foxglove, yeah, that's so interesting. Now where nature's names come from. Oh, there, just saw that'd be a queen buff-tailed bumblebee. There she is. Oh,
yes. Coming towards us.
She's coming right over here.
Yes. So obedient, your wildlife.
Obedient, of course. Oh, yes.
She's gone right in the glove.
Gone. Just flew past. Another one there. That's a queen buff-tail. That's the original one I saw. And they are here. And once we're standing here a moment or two, suddenly the sun's just trying to come out. But the colour is fantastic. Mm. Absolutely fantastic. So it was a 18th century botanist that discovered some of the secrets of foxgloves. He was a pharmacist as well. And he discovered that people being treated with foxglove leaves for dropsy, which is where you have fluid retention in the body, were having miraculous recoveries. And so he decided to try and find out what was happening. So he did some experiments with foxglove leaves, and he found out that it wasn't primary effect. It was the fact that the heart was beating stronger and slower, and that was dispelling all the fluid in the body, and it was so a roundabout cure for it. But he then discovered that the heart was being hugely affected by Digitalis, which is the drug within foxglove leaves. It's very, very powerful. and he did some experiments. If he made it a little bit too strong, he would kill his patients, and if it wasn't quite strong enough, it had no effect at all. So he realised he'd discovered something which is still used today in heart medicine. It's to sort of regularise the heart. Another bee just going in here. Actually, why we can't see them is because they're all up in the bowels here. Just one gone on where the tip of my finger is.
And you can easily get your thumb in these, can't you?
There he is.
Yes.
There we go. They're very shy. But look over there. There's a pure white one, which is a good 6 foot six, 7 feet tall. And they just love this soil. So it, one of the plants that we've learnt to live with. And, it really forms a backdrop to a lot of modern garden displays. Those and delphiniums, they really stand out. But when nature does a display like this, there's well over 1,000 just where we're standing.
And these just occur naturally?
This occur naturally, and again, a month's time or so, they'll have finished flowering. And I did teach you about a year ago how to get the seed of them. You run your hand all the way out the stalk, and you have these little capsules, and just rub them in your hands, and you get this tiny seed out. So each plant can produce over 10,000 seeds.
Oh, that's when the flowers have just gone over.
Yes, they've gone over.
And you get the seed,
yep,
handful of that.
Yep.
And then you
could spread it in your garden, or if you don't like your neighbour and want to cover up, you throw it over the garden fence. And it's a biennial. That's the problem with it. So you do have to wait a long time for displays like this. But then the seed from this year will drop on the ground and come into flower again in 2026.
So these foxgloves we can see here are only half the number you've got here, because there'll be another lot
Up absolutely, next year. Yes. So generally they'll all flower together like this. They're really good. So this is just an amazing display. It looks as though the people have been here and planted them, and it's not like that at all. So it's just such a lovely sight, Matthew. It's almost tearful when you look through, and it's sprinkled all through the woodland there, and there's bracken and ferns coming up through it, and the elder is in flower. We'll look at that in a future podcast, and it's time for elderflower wine is coming up, so I think we get...
Oh, you've got my attention there.
Better get the still out and start brewing some. But just to see this and to see that succession from the bluebells to this... because these were hardly visible when the bluebells first came out a month or so ago, and early purple orchids were in here. And so it's nature's actual doing what nature's meant to. If we stand back and let it all happen like it has done here, it's just mind-blowing.
Well, we've completely changed our tack here as far as habitat is concerned. And this is one of the farm ponds. I remember coming here 2 or 3 years ago, and this was dry. Plenty of water in it this year. And these curious red patterns just under the surface.
Well, the pond is blooming, Matthew. That's a technical term for what we're seeing in front of us. And I came here this morning, the sun was out early, just across the top of the water, and the pond just looked like a jigsaw puzzle, and where each of the pieces of the jigsaw fitted together was a bright sort of blood red line, seething and moving like some snake just beneath the surface of the water. And we've got, it's quite dark because the sun's gone in, unfortunately, but you can just make out these curious red lines. There's one quite close to us. It looks like a red bandage coiled up just under the surface of the water, very close to the top. And it's a blooming pond. And what you're looking at is copepods. But you might not have come across that word. But if I tell you cyclops, that's one of the members of the copepod family, you might know, you might sort of think of that Greek mythical giant with one eye in the centre of his head. Well, these little critters have one eye in the centre of their head. So we call them cyclops.
So these red clouds, as they look like, really, in lines, these are lots of cyclops all together.
Yes, and what they're doing is they're mating.
they're forming it. They all get together. They were all spread out equally over this area of water. It's deep. It's nearly 12 feet deep. That's 3 meters and a bit, nearly 4 meters deep. And because we had such a wet winter, they're really thriving in here. And so what happened yesterday, how I discovered them, is a large oak tree, which is right on the other side of the pond, fell right across the pond here. We're on top of a hill. It's again heavy boulder clay, and I pulled the tree out and I noticed that it was covered in ivy in November when it fell over in a gale, and the leaves have all been stripped. And I was puzzling my head as to what had eaten them. And it was these creatures feeding on organic matter. They will feed on algae in ponds and clear your green water and make it crystal clear. And they're the foundation food. Although you think, what the heck is Skinner talking about now? Their cousins are plankton. Without plankton, we'd have no whales. We'd have a great fewer fish, if any, fish species. And here, these feed our native freshwater fish. So people actually farm them and grow them. You can put them in jam jars and teach children about them. And again, a surprising fact is copepods produce more protein than any other creature on the planet. That just stops and makes you think how important they are. So many things feed and depend on them. And these red, look, there's one quite close to the edge there. It just looks like somebody's spilt red paint across the top of the water. And it's writhing and seething as we're talking.
And it's a living organism.
Yes.
Made up of lots of, many millions.
Millions and millions of them. Yeah, so it's just extraordinary. You'd think I'd kind of hidden something just under the surface of the water. If I'd brought a jam jar with me, I had meant to bring a torch, but I get so excited when we're going out on the farm, I forget half the things I'm meant to remember.
But there's always quite clear standing here, though, even in this light.
It
you
is.
Can see them.
Look, one of them's come up near the top, and it's doing anti-clockwise. And,
it's a swirl.
And there's a fly landed on the top of the water above them, and the fly's going round in a circle and says, who's going to stop me? It's almost in a little whirlpool. And they come up to the top, and so the rapid movement is they're mating, and just extraordinary. Oh, look, it's a perfect donut now, that one. Just out
it's
in the
got
middle.
A hole in the middle.
Yes.
Like a solar system
it is
outer space.
Exactly that. Oh, it's just to just come up a little bit closer to the surface while we're talking about them. So there we are, one of the foundation blocks of the natural world, and overlooked, hardly seen at all any time of the year, apart from when the pond blooms, which it is at the moment.
A rusty red colour. Look out for that when you're near a pond in the wild, really.
Yes.
They like it, but also horse troughs.
Yes, horse troughs as well on the farm. We've been cleaning them out this year. We do that about June every year, so the old debris from the previous autumn. And just look at that swarm of cyclops over there. A leaf has landed on the surface of the water, and the cyclops are swimming in a circle underneath it, and the leaf's now going in a circle. Yes, so there we are. Oh, it's just lovely. The sun's just coming, peeping out a little bit, and it's just illuminating these particular blobs, which are about 7 or 8 inches across. And in front of us, I can just see this one perfectly now, a long snake-like appearance in the water.
Do you know what I thought when you led me here and I saw these red, rusty shapes in here? I thought, Chris has got himself a carp complex.
Oh, yes, exactly, yes.
They do look the same colour as some types of ornamental fish.
Yes, they certainly do, yes. I do know a joke about carp and the Noah's Ark, because Noah sort of made a mistake, but God actually wanted a multi-storey carp park. But we won't go into that one.
Thank you.
it's another busy and exciting buzz there at High Ash Farm at the moment. Thank you for listening. And as ever, if you would like to listen to the episodes in full, you can head to countrysidepodcast.co.uk. You can email us at chris@countrysidepodcast.co.uk or call and leave a message on 01603 273 899. We have recently launched our first piece of merchandise for the podcast in the form of handy tote bags. They are long-handled, gusseted bags made of unbleached calico and they're digitally printed. They feature our artwork and we've had 100 made. The price for these is £20 plus £3.50 postage, and that's because after the cost of the tote bag, your money is donated directly towards the sustainability and production of the podcast. To take a look, you can visit our website, soundyard.org/Chris. But if you're not able to access the internet, you can leave us a voicemail with your name and number. Call us on 01603 273 899. Thank you so much for listening.